Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Next Pats podcast. I'm Phil Perry. We've got a great guest for you on this week's episode. It's ESPN's Dan Orlovsky. This guy is so good in terms of breaking down film in a way that we can all absorb it and digest it and understand what's going on in specific moments of specific games, giving us the situation, the reason why something worked, why it didn't. Dan Orlovsky is phenomenal in that regard. And so I'm thrilled to have him on this week. We get into a lot. And of course, it's very Mac Jones heavy. So there's been a lot of analysis of Mac Jones. There's been a lot of opinion on Mac Jones in terms of how he's performing overall, especially during the 6-game win streak. Is he truly one of the best quarterbacks in football? Because that's what some of the numbers would tell us. Also, plenty of opinion on how Mac Jones performed in this specific Patriots-Titans game that took place last weekend. I gave him a B- on the report card. I understand the people that say wasn't one of his best games. I understand the people who say, why do you care? Because he was incredibly efficient. Look at the numbers. Look at the scoreboard. This is what the guy does. He doesn't turn it over. He makes the right decisions. He makes the ho-hum play and the Patriots move on. And I would have no issue with that opinion either, because I think both are true. Mac Jones has set a very, very high standard for himself through 12 weeks of his first NFL season. And so I really thought it would be a great idea to get Orlovsky on. Tell us what he's seen, especially over the course of these last 6 weeks. How does it jibe with what he thought of Mac Jones before the draft? How much is the system here in New England helping him? How much is he elevating the system? Offensive rookie of the year. He's got an opinion on that. He also tells us, because the expectations on this Patriots team have changed, and they have changed for me, for you listening, I assume for most, right? There are probably some people out there who thought from day one, even before the draft, that the Patriots might be competing for a Super Bowl. But now they look like one of the best teams in the conference, if not the best team in the conference. I would argue they are the best team in the AFC right now. And I'm not sure how many of us really would have said that 2 or 3 months ago. Dan Orlovsky has a thought on if Mac Jones is good enough. He's been good, but is he good enough to get the Patriots to a Super Bowl? Let's hear from Dan on that and much, much more right now. All right, very happy to have on with us now for Next Pats, Dan Orlovsky, ESPN. He is everywhere. You can't help but turn on your TV and see this guy every single time. Dan, thanks so much for being with us, man.
It's good to be with you, man. Good to meet you somewhat digitally or electronically. I am everywhere, probably a little too much, but no, it's good to spend some time with you.
No such thing is right. Too much. NFL Live, ESPN, obviously the Patriots and Bills will be playing on ESPN Monday Night Football this coming Monday. I do want to ask you about that matchup, but I first want to ask you about Mac Jones, because Dan, the work you do is tremendous in terms of breaking down the film and then teaching it to us, to anyone who's watching, whether we're reporters, fans, or otherwise. And so I just want to put it to you, first and foremost, when you watch Mac Jones, especially maybe the last 6 weeks here, Patriots are on this great run. He's been playing well. When you're breaking down the film of Mac Jones, what do you see?
Well, I think that a lot of the things that you saw in college are starting to show themselves on a consistent basis. I think like one of the overwhelming things when you watched him at Alabama that impressed me, and I tried to get people to understand this, was while physically he wasn't fast, he played very fast. And there's a lot of variables that go into actually allowing that to happen. You know, is certainly how well do you know your offensive play? You know, when the Patriots run a type of offense that, you know, they're not going, okay, here's the play, Mac, look to the sideline to make sure that we're in the perfect play and then get there, you know? So there are times in football and the style of the plays that the Patriots call where, you know, it's not the ideal play versus a defense, you know, it's not the perfect play. And you got to know if you have a good play on, a great play on, or we don't have a great play and I still have to do the right thing with the football or get us into a right check. And so I think you're watching that start to show itself more and more consistently. And you get to it, what's the defense? And I've said this so much, you know, processing information for quarterback is what's my play? Okay, where's the opportunity within my play and where's the problem within my play? What's the defense? Where's the opportunity versus the defense? And what's the problem with the defense? And that constantly kind of checking those boxes, you see that and a more consistent pace with Mac. I also think, you know, the connection that he's got with Josh and then Josh's connection with the pieces of their offense has grown. You know, I think their play action game is very much so right now, cut the field in half, three levels, cut the field in half, three levels. And you can get to those three levels in different ways. And, you know, Greg Knapp, God rest his soul, used to always say they're cutting the fat off plays for Mac. I think that's a big thing. They've realized who Hunter Henry is and who he isn't, who Jonnu Smith is and who he isn't. Their backs, their offensive line. So, you know, it's all connected. But I just think for Mac, you're just watching him play really fast and, you know, in many ways not hurting their football team. And that's kind of the way they're built.
Is there anything, even though you knew with Mac Jones coming into the NFL that he did play fast, that he had this quality to his game, yeah, is there anything about what you've seen in some specific moments that still surprises you? Like, I'll just give you, for instance, Dan, and we talked about this play. We do a show every Monday called The Breakdown, and we were looking at his first touchdown to Kendrick Bourne, and yep, they motion to empty, and it's five-man protection in the red zone where everything's condensed, and they're showing pressure, and they're cool with doing that, even though he's a rookie quarterback, and he's probably going to have, you know, one of these guys end up being his responsibility coming, you know, clear to the quarterback. That, to me, that's probably a little one, and it's not like it was the most exotic play of all time, but it's just, to me, it shows that Josh McDaniels has some trust in this guy to play fast.
Yeah.
So I guess where do you see that pop up the most?
You know, just even that play, like for me, the thing that stood out about that play was his feet. You know, like he takes, you know, the end man on the line of scrimmage is the ideal person in that situation that you want to free up. And the quarterback knows it. And he just takes one step and the ball goes out. You know, if he takes what we call like a gather step or a hop step, he's going to get hit. Like you have to go one step. So again, the understanding of, all right, here's my, this is the problem from the defense. What's my answer? You know, I remember this is even going back to like the Chargers game. I want to say like a month ago. There was, if you remember, there's a little shallow cross on kind of the game-ending drive that he throws to Jacoby Myers. And I broke this down on SportsCenter maybe last week or something. And it was a play-action fake, and Jacoby's relatively wide open. And everyone, I guess to the naked eye, probably looks at it and goes, you know, not an impressive play. But if Mac, again, puts his back foot in the ground and, like, does the smallest form of a hitch, it's a sack fumble. So, but that's an example of him playing. I would say this, the thing that, you know, you didn't get a ton of examples of it in college and you don't know how a guy's going to do it is his, the subtlety within the pocket movement, the nuance within his pocket movement, and kind of playing in that phone booth, playing in that chaos has been better than I anticipated. One, because again, you just didn't see it a ton in Alabama. And it's not like he didn't have to play fast at Alabama. He did. But he never, not off, he very rarely had to play in that kind of condensed, chaotic, I got to move away from this right guard, but there's a little bit of space to my left and still kind of operate. You know, I think you saw that on, they ran a deep cross this past weekend, and I believe it was to Jacoby, and they go play action, and he's just got to subtly move his drop from really setting up behind the center to kind of getting in between the left guard and left tackle. And that's not where he's designed to get to, but you know, the design changes when the defense is coming at you, so to speak. And just that, the ability to kind of subtly move in the pocket while also playing within the rhythm or the timing of the play and still seeing the defense, I think that's something that I've been really impressed with, because I just, you didn't have to see that a lot at Alabama.
Do you think the subtleties of his game, Dan, are why he seems to be a pretty polarizing player in yes. terms of the evaluations, whether it's, you know, media or even the NFL, yeah. where he ends up going the fifth out of five quarterbacks taken in the first round? Is that what it is? It's just there are little pieces of his game that make him very yeah. good that are hard to notice.
Yeah, this is where I come off a little bit of like an egotistical person. So
that's okay. Let it flow, Dan.
I think, and I've said this for years now, like too many people, when we're watching quarterbacks, we look at them like we look at every other position in the NFL. When I'm drafting a defensive end, I want big, fast, strong, powerful, athletic. Same with the wide receiver. Like, that's the stuff I want. And if I can get the physical with this, great. Then I've got a really good player. It's the opposite for quarterbacks. I need you to think incredibly fast and processing incredibly quickly and be able to check things off and, you know, keep an even keel temperament wise and be an incredible leader and own kind of moments. And then I need you to be physically good. So the mental is way more important, but we don't care about that. You know, we want the big, sexy, shiny kind of thing, even at quarterback. And that's just not, it's just not the reality of the position. If you can give me a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who has the mental and then the physical, awesome. Or a guy like Josh Allen, who has a lot of the mental and a lot of the physical, awesome. You know, that great. But we're still, the two most important things in the history of this position that always have been, are, and always will be, how fast you think and how well you can throw. And I just felt that Mac, and that's why I thought he was going to go three. Like, I just felt he, all the things that are incredibly important about playing quarterback, I think he's elite at. And that's why all that stuff makes up for his inability physically, if we want to phrase it that way.
It's interesting too, because of the team for which he plays, I think, because the narrative around here is pretty split. You know, in terms of locally here in Boston, our little bubble, you know, we're talking about, okay, how much of this is Mac elevating the team around him and how much of it is the opposite? To me, yeah. it's been a tremendous marriage, because I do think the Patriots are doing some things to help him out, whether it's running the football and running it well, using play action at a high rate, using the screen game at a high rate, doing some of these things that can make a rookie quarterback's life easier. But they're also, Dan, you look at it like the last 6 weeks, he's near the top of the league in yards per attempt, you know, Pro Football Focus's big time throws, passer rating, completion percentage, third and long situations. They've been great for about 2 months now. Yeah. That to me is Mac elevating the team around him. How much of the system is, or how much is the system really helping Mac and vice versa, in your opinion?
I think it's 100-100, you know, it's almost like a great marriage. You don't get 50-50. It's 100, you know. We live, again, we're in this football time frame where if you say, man, the system really helps the quarterback, it's almost like saying a quarterback's a great game manager. Yeah, that's quite literally the number one job. And so, yeah, I'd certainly it's, you know, Josh has done a great job. And again, of understanding who those guys aren't and before they know who they are. And but at the end of the day, this is a quarterback that's 12 games into his NFL career and he's playing at a very high level, and he's got their offense playing at a very high level. You know, like I remember, you know, when they made the announcement that Mac was going to be the starter and they moved on from Cam, I had to do SportsCenter and I was like, this is a top four team in the AFC right now. And Mac Jones is going to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. And this will be a top five offense. And, you know, people are like, and if you've watched Josh at all, you know exactly how Josh kind of goes about his business. And if you knew this offensive line was going to be as good as they are playing, then you understood what the quarterback was going to have to be really good at. He's going to have to be really good at the line of scrimmage. He's going to have to be fantastic with his ball placement, and he's going to have to be great on third down. I think those all fall into the strength skill set of Mac Jones. I just, you know, again, I like, yeah, Mac is fitting in perfectly to this offense. And this offense is exactly what he needs. If you took Mac and put him in Baltimore, no, he's not going to play well. And I remember saying this leading up to the draft, like if we looked at all these incredibly physically talented quarterbacks that have come into the NFL and they're young and they're awesome. They're absolutely freaking awesome. You know, Josh and Lamar and Kyler, and we would ask, okay, 2 or 3 years into their career, the number one question that is going to be asked about all those guys, are they going to be able to develop as pocket passers? And the point was, Mac's already there. He's already there. He's already answered that question that you're going to ask about those guys. And I just think a lot of people overlooked that.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Do you still see him as the offensive rookie of the year? Or you thought he had the potential to be? Ja'Marr Chase has made quite a push, but where are you on that now?
Oh, he's the offensive rookie of the year. I'd be shocked if he doesn't win it. Ja'Marr has been awesome. I thought it was really, like a month ago, I thought it was a three-man race. I thought it was Ja'Marr, Mac, and Trevor Lawrence, because Trevor really started to play good football. And I think it's Mac's kind of award to lose right now. He's just played so well. You know, he's played so well. Obviously, we often tie those things to kind of team performances as well. And I think Jamar's played really good, but Mac is just surging. And you know, if you watch the game tape and if you watch the film, man, it's undeniable how good football he's playing.
In the team performance, which you mentioned, I mean, it has just been, it's gotten so good so quickly, I think, which has caught people off guard.
Yeah.
The expectations, it feels like, have changed for this team now, Dan. Whereas going into the year, we looked at it here and said, okay, rookie quarterback, they're moving on from Cam. They should be a winning team, right? Sure. They just added a bunch in free agency, spent all this money. They should be a winning team, but people weren't really talking about them as a true contender, like as in a championship contender. My question for you is, can Mac Jones be the quarterback of a true contender here in 2021? Because when you look at it, especially these last few years, the teams that make it to the end of the season, the Final Four and those that championship weekend, it's some of the best quarterbacks in football. And it feels like you need one of those guys, but Mac Jones is a rookie and a rookie hasn't gone to the Super Bowl. So is he good enough to get them to that point where we're now starting to talk about this Patriots team?
My answer is yes. Obviously, that's predicting and kind of foreshadowing. We'll find out. My answer is yes. I think a couple of reasons why. Number one, I think to beat New England, you got to play your A game. You know, the last time we saw a team beat New England, it was the Dallas Cowboys. They played their best game of the season that year, or of the year, that game, that week. So I think to beat them, you got to play your A game. Number two, I just think that stylistically, they play such a different brand of football right now than anybody in the NFL. And I said this in the summertime that they were going to go back in time to the early 2000s. They were going to, while we live in a spread out world in football, they were going to shrink things down and they were going to play smash mouth ball and they're going to put that fullback on the field and they're going to run the football and they were going to be methodical and they were going to execute over 10 or 12 play drives and they were going to make you do that on defense as well. And we just don't right now we're transitioning into it, but we're not in that era of football. At least people don't think we are. We are, to make it very clear. We are. And I think it's going to be, they're just a difficult team to beat because of that. I think they're the smartest team in football. You know, like you mentioned the play action game. When I talked about it, cutting the field in half and simplifying it, that's a real thing. You watch some of the other play action chunks that teams are trying to get with these young quarterbacks. They got Star Wars going all over the place. It's hard to see, man. I think their screen game. I mean, if you go back even to this past weekend and, you know, there's a play in the game that I feel like embodies this offense and this football team. It's later in the game. They got control of the game and Mac takes a sack. And I think it's on second down and they're just kind of paddling scoring range. And he takes a sack and second down and it becomes third and long and he gets a completion for, I don't know, it's like third and 25 or third and 23. He gets a completion. It's somewhat of a check down. They kick a field goal and get 3 points. People probably see like, oh, that's a big play for that kid to understand that that's a big play. And so because of the way the opportunistic defense is playing and their style of ball, like who in the AFC do I honestly, you know, who I think matches up best against them in the AFC, the Colts. That's the team who I think matches up best against them with the Tre'Davious White injury. I would have said Buffalo, but I feel like the Colts match up best against them
because of the running game there.
Yeah. Because of the ability to play physical at the line of scrimmage, because of the run game, because of the way that they'll attack man coverage with their RPOs and their picks and rubs and meshes. I think just their ability to, like, if you go back and watch, Tennessee ran it relatively well against on their defense, you know, uncharacteristically. So I just don't think a lot of teams match up to their style of play.
Well, and it's fascinating that you bring up that play, that check down that got them back into field goal range, Dan, because I asked Josh McDaniels about how he would assess the performance of Mac Jones in that Tennessee Titans game. And he brought up that specific play that you just brought up saying that's one of those plays that you may not see it in the play-by-play. You may not see it in the box score and say, that's a huge deal. But for us, it was third and 21, I believe.
Yeah.
And for us to get back in a field goal range and win in that situation, because it's almost impossible to win in third and 20 plus situations, that's big for us. And I think that explains what you got to a little bit earlier in our conversation here, where it's just those subtleties, right? The importance of that subtle style of play.
And think of the options that could happen on that play. You know, a young quarterback could sit there and go, my gosh, I got to try to make up for it. All of a sudden a sack happens. And instead of, you know, potentially punting from midfield, now you're punting from your own 35-yard line. Field position matters. Again, with the style of you hold on to the ball and it's a sack fumble, you know, you try to force a ball into a tight window and it's a pick. You know, there's a lot of bad that could happen in that situation. And for him to kind of be aware of it again, like when you are, I said this a couple of weeks ago, the great thing about New England is they don't have to chase points offensively. They don't have to chase points. And I think that that's kind of another, you know, it's one of those plays that falls into that. He don't have to chase points, and that's a good thing. It's a benefit to playing, but it was just a kind of small example of it.
There's no doubt. He's just been so good at avoiding the negative, right? It's okay. When you're in a management position like that as a quarterback of an NFL franchise, it's okay to think in worst case scenarios at times and to avoid those. He still hasn't had a game where we would look at it and say, well, that was his rookie game. And they lost that game because they have a rookie playing quarterback, and you have to expect that. You do have to expect that, I think. Yeah. We still haven't seen it yet. Is it coming Monday? This is the last question I want to ask you just about this matchup. Bills-Patriots will be a lot of fun to watch this one, but it'll be a tough environment for a young quarterback, I would assume.
Yeah, I would. Again, Tre'Davious White injury completely changes the fabric of this defense. This is a defense that, you know, likes to play man in situations and come after the quarterback. You know, he's just such a good corner. So I think, you know, it totally changes the outlook of the game. Yeah, it'll be a tough environment, no doubt about it. And their front for Buffalo is fantastic. And some of their blitz packages are good. Their linebackers are – it's the best defense New England has played probably all year. You know, the most challenging defense both schematically and personnel-wise. You know, I would have said, you know, when in the throw game you go after 39. You make sure that 39 – is a guy that's got to earn his paycheck that week and all the different ways you can go after him. But now with Tre'Davious out, I feel, you know, like New England can have some success offensively, and their ability to play well up front, you know, will be a huge deal. I think that their run game will be very much so right at Buffalo, almost like Indy was, you know, with their traps and their whams. So it'll be a tough environment, but I think because they'll be able to run the football, Mac's got some options in the pass game.
Well, that game will be a blast. Dan, it's been a blast talking to you. I'm sure you'll be talking about that game leading up to the fact, after the fact, SportsCenter, NFL Live, Get Up. The man is everywhere. The indefatigable Dan Orlovsky. Thanks for being with us on Next Pats.
Good time. Thank you, bud.
Love that conversation with Dan Orlovsky, and he hit on something there toward the end, which I think is true. And we've touched on this every so often here on Next Pats. If you've been following along, we are in a transition period. Dan said it's already happened. Period. Past tense. It's happened. I think it's happening, and it'll only continue to happen to a greater extent. And what is happening? The league is shifting offensively. And I think it's because of some of the shifts that have been made defensively to take away the explosive play. When you do that as a defense and you force the offense to run the football, to check it down, to be patient, to run long drives, 12, 13, 14 plays down the field, it makes it hard on an offense to be able to execute in that fashion. But there are certain offenses that are built to play that way. And there are other offenses that really aren't, or at least they're not used to playing that way. I think what Dan was getting at there is that the Patriots are one of those teams that is built to play that way. Run the football, run it efficiently, use play action, take the check down when it's there, be smart, don't turn it over, be patient. These are all things that are relatively difficult to do, especially in today's NFL, when there's such a heightened emphasis, or at least there has been over the course of the last several years, on the explosive play. Running around, extending your time behind the line of scrimmage, surveying down the field, hitting wide receivers that run a 4-3, 45 yards in the air, and taking it in for a touchdown on a four-play, 80-yard scoring drive. If you can pull that off, that's great. But there are defenses that have gotten wise to this situation over the course of, it just feels like, months now. This has happened fast here. And all of a sudden, you're seeing more two-high looks. You're seeing the explosive plays for some of these teams, whether it's the Bills or the Chiefs or anyone else. The last few weeks, it's been the Rams. Once that explosive play goes away, then who are you? What can you do? And the Patriots might never be as explosive on an individual player level, player for player, as a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. But they have remained explosive. If you look at the numbers, they're near the top of the league in terms of not just explosive play rate, period, runs and passes, but just passes specifically, near the very top of the NFL. How are they doing it? They're not necessarily doing it with passes that travel 40 yards down the field. They're doing it to the tight ends over the middle of the field. They're doing it to their receivers underneath and allowing them room to run after the catch. They're doing it with the screen game at times. This is still an explosive offense. This can be an explosive offense. They're just doing it in a different way than some of those other teams I just mentioned. And some of those other teams are running into problems because of this transition. The transition that happened, we had this offensive points explosion just a handful of years ago. Defenses have now changed. The schemes have changed to take away some of those offenses and what they like to do. And now we're seeing the counterpunch on the offensive side of the ball. Okay. If you want to get light, if you want to play back, if your focus is to take away the explosive play, we're going to punch you in the face with a fullback. And we're going to have a 350-pound tight end run onto the field and align himself right next to a 380-pound tackle. And that's what the Patriots have done on a handful of occasions with Mike Owenu and Trent Brown. And we're going to run over you. The Colts are having some success. Dan Orlovsky likes the Colts. Why? Because they have this varied rushing attack that is really hammering teams. And teams defensively might not be built to hold up to that kind of attack. So that was a fascinating part of our discussion towards the end there. But great stuff on Mac Jones throughout. Offensive rookie of the year. You want to get your bets in now? Dan Orlovsky likes Mac Jones. I like him too. And I've liked him for a long time. If you thought Ja'Marr Chase was going to keep up that pace where he had 150, 200 yards receiving week after week after week, I mean, that would have locked up the award for him. But look at the last month. I'm not sure he's broken 50 yards receiving over the course of the last 4 weeks here. He's a very, very good player. He's already one of the best receivers in football. I'm not saying he's not, but you're just not making nearly the impact that even a good quarterback. You don't want to put him in the elite category yet, and I'm not doing that. But even a good quarterback relative to the rest of the NFL is still infinitely more valuable than a very good receiver. And so Mac Jones has to get that award. So put your bets there. And also, if you like the Patriots to win the conference, I think Dan Orlovsky might back you up on that one too, even though they've got a rookie quarterback. All right, thanks so much for listening to Next Pats. Thanks so much to Dan Orlovsky for joining us on Next Pats. We'll have to try to get him again down the road. Thank you to you all for listening. Please download, rate, subscribe, tell your friends about Next Pats so we can continue to try to provide you with the best podcast humanly possible. One last very quick note. Stay tuned for a second Next Pats episode this week. We missed you with an episode on the week of the Falcons game. It was a Thursday night game. Weird week schedule-wise for us, for the team, but for us as well. We're making up for it with a second podcast this week. We're going to have Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, coming up in a couple of days. So keep an eye out for that one on the Next Pats feed, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. It'll pop up there in the next couple of days. We're talking to DJ about all things Patriots, team building specifically. Love the fact that DJ has this scouting background. He's going to talk to us about Mac Jones as well. But how are the Patriots building this thing and how does it fit into the modern game in 2021? What we thought of the modern game and what we're thinking of it now. There may be two definitions there that I'm sure Daniel Jeremiah will be able to get into some detail with us on. So keep an eye out for that. Thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you very, very soon.